So good evening, everybody. What can I say? This is such a tremendous, tremendous thing that all of you are doing. And I am so proud of everybody that I see on the screen. I am so proud of the organizers of this initiative. And I am so jealous of you who have the opportunity to be in Eretz Yisrael, to be at the front lines, at the forefront of Jewish history. And unfortunately, for those of us who are still in Chutz La'aretz, we're just trying our best to be as supportive and as helpful as we can be in every possible and potential way. But what can I say? The people who are on the front lines are all of you, all of the Chayalim, all of the people who live in Israel, and all of the Americans who have made the brave and courageous choice to stay in Israel, even though it is something that was I'm sure, a very difficult choice, a very difficult decision. I'm sure a lot of emotions were involved. But what can I tell you other than the fact that we are so proud of your decision? We are all being mispalel, that things hopefully should have a very positive outcome, and we should be able to see a Yeshuas Hashem Keheref Ayin. But until that time, we have to be mechazik each other as much as we can. And this is a tremendous opportunity that has been created for all of you. So I thank you for allowing me to be a part of it. You know, the Torah tells us in Parshas Acharimos that Aaron HaKohen was told, Al Yavo B'chaleis El HaKodesh. He is not allowed to go as often as he wants into the Kodesh HaKadashim, into the holiest place in the world. And Rashi there says, what is the reason why Aaron was warned not to go in too often? Says Rashi, the reason why is because, Lefi shegalui shchinasi sham, because my shchina is to be found there, lefikach lo yargil lavo, therefore he shouldn't come too often. Now, I would have said, the opposite should be the case. If the shchina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always felt, and most profoundly felt, in that location, wouldn't it make sense that Aaron should be there as often as he can be? Don't we want to always have the opportunity to feel the presence of the Shekhinah, to feel the sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives? Wouldn't that be the place where you would advise Aaron HaKohen to be at all times? Why is he limited in his allowance to be there? And the answer the Balei Musar say is because, even if you're Aaron HaKohen in the Kodesh HaKadashim, on Yom HaKippurim, there are experiences of life that become monotonous. There are experiences of life that just become part of our routine. And even your encounter with the divine, even your encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be something that you stop feeling, that you stop understanding and appreciating how lucky you are to be in the presence of the Ribono Shel Olam. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, I want this experience for you to be one that is unique, that is special, that is different, that is not going to be something that you get used to. I want you to feel the special nature of what it is every time you engage the Ribono Shel Olam, and that will only happen if it's something that you do on an infrequent basis. The Navi Yecheskel tells us when people used to come visit the Beis HaMikdash, Haba Derech Shar Tzafon, if you came into the entrance of the Beis HaMikdash through one entry, you had to walk through the Beis HaMikdash and go out the opposite way. And Reb Chaim Shmulevitz writes, because somebody who comes to a museum is amazed by what they see, but after a few minutes of your being there, you get used to it and you're not so enamored by it. You're not so taken by what the scenes that you are being presented with. We want that a person, when they come to the Beis HaMikdash, when they engage with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when they encounter Him, they should feel that sensational feeling at every moment. And therefore, if you came in from one entrance, we want you to walk out the other entrance so that you understand how lucky and how blessed and how privileged you are to be able to be in the encounter of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to spend time together with Him. Which is why the Torah says, V'haya ki v'yacha, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring you to the land of Eretz Yisrael. And the end of that pasuk is, Unesan alach, and He will give it to you. Ask the Medrash, what does it mean, Unesan alach? Didn't He give it to us a long time ago? Says the Medrash, we all have to have the position, we all have to have the feeling, Ki'ilu hayom nesun alach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the land of Eretz Yisrael today. I don't feel that all the time. We jump on a plane, we go visit Eretz Yisrael, we engage with the community, we're a part of the society, we give all kinds of money, and we are a major part of everything that Eretz Yisrael is, not only for those who live there, but for those who are from Chutz La'aretz as well. However, we don't often have the opportunity to feel ki'ilu hayom nesun alach. Right now, as tragic and as upsetting as this current situation is, we are all given the opportunity to reimagine what our relationship with Eretz Yisrael is all about. All of you had to make a courageous decision to decide that Eretz Yisrael is important enough to you that you're going to stay for thick and for thin. And you're going to stay even when times are difficult, and you're going to stay even though you're putting yourselves in danger. But you made a decision that you're going to stay because you realize the gift that Eretz Yisrael is for all of us. And to me, that is a very, very tremendous gift that this time gives us. As terrible as it is, it's a time for us to reimagine and to reawaken our love for Eretz Yisrael, to realize ki'ilu hayom nesu nalach. It's almost as if we realize that every day that we live in Eretz Yisrael is a privilege. Every day that we have the opportunity to experience Eretz Yisrael is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to never ever take that for granted, and to realize al yavo b'chaleis al HaKodesh. It is not a given. It is not something that we are just assuming is always going to be ours. Eretz Yisrael is something that every day that we have it is a mace, it's a miracle, it's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you have taken full advantage of that gift. Ashreichem v'ashreinu. How lucky we are that we have members of our community like you who have made these courageous decisions, and how lucky you are to be the ones who have made these decisions and to experience the love and the passion and the gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us in the beloved land of Eretz Yisrael every day of the year, every day of our lives. And Amir Toshem, that should continue to be the reality of our lives for many, many happy and healthy years moving forward. The Navi Yeshaya writes very famously, Ki lo machshavosai machshavoseichem, velo darcheichem derachai. The ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are not ways that we always understand. And the Chafetz Chaim has a comment on that, where the Chafetz Chaim mentions that there was once a businessman who went to a community, and he was there for the first time. He got stuck over a Shabbos, and he goes to shul on Shabbos morning. And after shul, the gabbai comes over to him and he says, you know, is there anything I can do for you? Is there any way I can be helpful to you? And he says, actually, yes, you know, I'm just wondering something that I noticed in shul this morning. When it came to Kriyas HaTorah, when it came to laning, so I saw that you went to the front row and you gave an aliyah to somebody over there. Then you went three rows back and four rows forward, and you kept jumping back and forth, giving aliyahs to different people. Wouldn't it be easier if I streamlined the process? Wouldn't it be easier if the first week you gave the seven aliyahs to the first seven people sitting in the front of the room, and then you moved to the next row and you went around, and then over time you got back to the place where you started? Why is it that you have this arbitrary system where you're running around the shul and making yourself crazy and trying to remember who you gave to and who you didn't, and when you owe this person aliyah, when you don't? I have a much easier system that sounds like it would make everyone's lives much simpler as well. And the gabbai turns back to him and he says, can I ask you, how long have you been in our community? How long have you been in our shul? And he turns back and he says, well, this is my first time here. This is your first time here and you expect to understand how we do things? I'll tell you, this one is celebrating the marriage of his daughter. They're in the middle of Sheva Bracha, so he needs an aliyah. And that one has a bar mitzvah this week, and this one has a yard site that he's commemorating. And everybody has their own reason. Stick around for another 5 years. You'll begin to understand the rhythm of how we do things the way we do in our shul. And said the Chafetz Chaim, this is the way he understands the way things happen in our world. Sometimes we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we say, this really seems so haphazard. It seems so strange and it doesn't make any sense. And why would you do this to a person's life? And why would you destroy a community like that? And how could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows all these things to happen? And we have these questions which really are extremely penetrating against the Ribono Shel Olam. And the Ribono Shel Olam turns to us and says, I appreciate the question and I understand it, but you need to realize, how many years have you been here? This world has been around for a couple of thousand years. And maybe if you stick around for another few hundred years or a few thousand years, you'll begin to understand and appreciate the rhythm of how things work in this world and why they do in the manner and fashion in which they unfold, and the experiences which we all have the opportunity to see unfold in our lifetime. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed to go down to Mitzrayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, your task, your job is to save the Jewish people. But as we know, Moshe Rabbeinu goes and he starts negotiating with Paro. And then he turns to the Ribono Shel Olam and he says, Me'az basi al Paro, heira la'am hazeh. When, since I started to talk to the Jewish people and to Paro about letting them go free, everything has not been going in a positive direction. To the contrary, heira la'am hazeh. Things have only become worse since I've gotten involved. And Moshe Rabbeinu wants to give up and he says, this is terrible. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to him and he says, you need to understand that Geula is a process. In Parshas Va'era, the Torah tells us, actually Sefer Shmos is called the Sefer HaGalus VaHaGeula, as the Ramban terms it. But in Parshas Va'era, the Torah tells us, V'hotseisi V'hitzalti V'ga'alti V'lakachti V'hevesi, that there is a process to Geula. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen by itself. It's something that takes time to play out. And things don't just happen from one moment to the next. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu was made to understand that. And we know that we sometimes need to live through that process of Geula as well. And what we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our Shemona Esrei every day is, V'sechazena einenu b'shuvcha l'tzion berachamim. Why is it that we want that our eyes should see the return to Eretz Yisrael? What exactly is the emphasis on the einenu? And I think the answer is, the Torah tells us, ki ayin ba'ayin yiru b'shuv Hashem tzion. When we'll come back to Eretz Yisrael, our eye will match up with the Ribono Shel Olam's eye. We will be able to once again share a perspective with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ribono Shel Olam does things in our world, but we really don't understand them. And our perspective is very different than his perspective. And our understanding is very distant from his. Ki gavu shamayim me'aretz. The chasm that exists between heaven and earth is the same chasm and the same big space that exists between our understanding and the understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how he runs the world. And that is what we look forward to. Ki ayin ba'ayin yiru b'shuv Hashem tzion. When our eye, when our perspective, when our understanding will once again match up with the understanding of the Ribono Shel Olam, and that is what we daven for every day. V'sechazena einenu b'shuvcha l'tzion berachamim. One of the infamous characters in Chumash is Bilam HaRasha, and he goes down in history as one of the people who challenged Moshe Rabbeinu, who challenged the Jewish people, and we all know the end. But at some point, we are told, Mimana Afar Yaakov. He turns around and he says, the Jewish people are so amazing. Although he wanted to curse them, we know that at some point, he ended up giving a bracha, Vayafoch Hashem, as Kilalas Bilam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed and flipped the klala of Bilam HaRasha to actually be a bracha. But at one point along that narrative, Bilam HaRasha says, Tamos nafshi mos yesharim. I want that I should live out my life and that I should die a mos yesharim. What does it mean that he wants to die a mos yesharim, the death of the righteous? Says the Yalkut Shimoni, Amos kemoshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom. I want to have a death like Moshe Rabbeinu. The Medrash writes, Chazal tell us, I want to die like Avram, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov. Now I ask you, does Bilam go down in infamy? Or should Bilam be remembered for good things? How many of us think in our lives, you know, I really have one passion, I have one mission in life, and that is that when I die, I should go down as Moshe Rabbeinu lived, as Avram, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov lived. So why are we so critical of him if, after all, he was saying something very beautiful, a very positive sentiment when he says, Tamos nafshi mos yesharim. I want to die like Moshe Rabbeinu, like Avram, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov. Isn't that something very positive and very special? So why does he go down for such negativity if this is really what he felt? And this is the kasha of the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. And the Aruch Chaim answers in his commentary on Chumash that what he was missing here was that perhaps the difference is he was not prepared to live the life of Moshe Rabbeinu. He was not prepared to live the sacrifices of Avram, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov. All he wanted was that at the end of his wonderful life, where he enjoyed everything, all the pleasures of the world, he wanted to go down in history like somebody who died, like Moshe, like Aaron, like Avram, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov. It doesn't work that way, Bilam. You have to invest throughout the different decisions in your life. You have to appreciate and you need to understand that every decision has consequences, that everything that you do has a price that you need to pay for it. And it's not just that at the last moment of life you are going to leave this world like Avram, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov, or like Moshe Rabbeinu. That takes a lifetime of investment, which is something that Bilam was not prepared to do. And all of you are prepared to make an investment. All of you are not saying that they want to live out their lives and end up having the tamos nafshi mos yesharim, but you are all saying that I want to make meaning of every moment of life, that I want to have the opportunity to make sacrifices in my life now, to show that I'm prepared to follow in the footsteps of Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, and all the greats of our people who did not just see a positive outcome in the end, but who struggled through all of life, who understood the opportunities that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put before them and that the decisions that they were going to make at those critical moments and junctures were going to be ones that were so important for their own growth and were going to bring them and catapult them to a very special place. That is what Bilam HaRasha could not appreciate or understand. And this really, in essence, is what we talk about every day in our davening. When some have the custom to say Parshas HaAkedah, there is a tefillah that we say at the end of Parshas HaAkedah, when we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remember the story of the Akedah and to remember us for good as a result of that great sacrifice. But what do we say? V'seira lefanecha Akedah sha'akar Avram Avinu es Yitzchak beno agabe amizbeach. Remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the great sacrifice of Avram Avinu. And the question is, Was this a sacrifice of Avraham Avinu? Avraham Avinu was one part of the sacrifice, but after all, we know that Yitzchak Avinu was a grown man at the time, and he was willing to go along with it. And Yitzchak Avinu sacrificed of himself. Lasos Ritzon Chavalev Avshalem. So why are we focusing only on the sacrifice of Avraham Avinu and not talking about Yitzchak? And the answer is because Yitzchak's sacrifice was one that would have been a momentary sacrifice. Bind me up on the Mizbeach, bring me as a carbon, and I will give my life, I will die al Kiddush Hashem, because this is what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. Avraham Avinu was willing to do so much more than that. Avraham Avinu said, I'm going to sacrifice my son, and I'm going to continue to live life and pay the price for what I did. And I'm going to continue to live life, al Kiddush Hashem. I'm going to continue to live while making sacrifices, and I'm going to be an individual who will continue to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the difficulty of life and the struggles that I'm going to have put in my way are ones that I'm going to always overcome. I'm going to always make the right decisions. I'm always going to invest in myself to make this relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is something that I feel proud to say about myself. And that is what we ask the Ribbono Shel Olam to remember. Not the momentary sacrifice. Of course, there's a lot of terrible discussion today. I don't mean terrible in a negative sense. I just mean awfully painful discussion that we are having about all the Kedoshim, all the people who were killed at Kiddush Hashem. And it's evoking memories from so many years of Jewish history of people who gave their lives, Shem Masru Nafsham al Kedushas Hashem. You know, we've been saying Ava Rachamim for so many generations, but many of us probably never thought about it. We didn't live through the Holocaust. Perhaps some of you are not the children of parents who had parents or grandparents of Holocaust survivors, and yet we hear the stories, but we don't really appreciate what it means. But when you say Ava Rachamim now, it makes you cry. It makes you understand, what does it mean to talk about people, Shem Masru Nafsham al Kedushas Hashem? And that being the case, of course, we know that giving one's life al Kiddush Hashem, nobody is able to be omid b'mechitzasam. That is a sacrifice that is one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu values. It is one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes very seriously, and it is one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu adores. But yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls upon all of us not to do that. The Ribbono Shel Olam calls upon all of us to think about not tamuz nafshi mos yisharim, but to think about the lifetime of Avraham Avinu, the Akeda Sha'akar Avraham Avinu as Yitzchak Beno, the ongoing decision-making process that all of us need to have, the thinking clearly about every situation that we are presented with, the opportunities that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts in front of us, and taking advantage of those moments and making the right decisions at all times is not something that is always easy. The Medrash actually has a very interesting comment in this week's Parsha, that there are two times when it says Lech Lecha. One is at the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, Me'artzecha Mimoladetecha, going away from Avraham Avinu's home and relocating to a distant location where he really had a lot of unknowns in front of him. And then Lech Lecha by the Akeda was another one. And the Medrash writes, we are not entirely sure which one of the Lech Lechas that was instructed to Avraham Avinu was more profound and was more beloved in the eyes of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now you ask yourself, Lech Lecha, to leave your father's home, or the Akeda? Which one was more beloved in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That sounds almost preposterous. I think we all know which one was more beloved. But one of the Mefarshim on Chumash writes that perhaps the understanding of this dilemma of the Medrash is, what it means is, I think this is found in the Sefer of the Reish HaRav. I'm just forgetting this moment what it's called. I didn't have a chance to look it up this morning. But I think what he writes is that what the Medrash is trying to highlight is, it's not only giving one's life al Kiddush Hashem. That's one relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what Avraham Avinu was being asked by the Akedah. But there was a Lech Lecha that came before that. And the Lech Lecha before that was, leave the comforts of your home. Leave everything aside. You can be living in America right now with your parents. You can be in the comfort of your homes wherever you're from. And you can have a very easy life. And nothing will be challenging you. And that's very simple. But Avraham Avinu was told, leave that all behind. And let's see, are you going to be able to overcome the struggles, the uncertainty, all the difficulties that are putting, that I'm going to put in front of you, instead of staying in the comfort of your father's home? Are you prepared to do that? To live every moment of your life, al Kiddush Hashem? Not to die, al Kiddush Hashem. I don't want your life. But to give every waking moment of your life for the Ribbono Shel Olam, to make a Kiddush Hashem in everything that you do. And what can I say other than the fact that all of you are doing just that? The decisions that you have made and the ongoing decision that you are continuing to make to say we are not going anywhere. We are here to support the Jewish people. We are here to do everything we can to uphold the spirit and to give of our time, of our energy, of our chesed opportunities to the Jewish people who are in need, and not just to say we are going to retreat and stay in the comfort of our homes, to stand up boldly and say, I am prepared to do like Avraham Avinu did, and to say, Lech lecha me'artzecha mimoladetecha el ha'aretz asher areka, to go and stand up firmly and boldly and proudly and say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to stand with your people and I'm going to make sacrifices in doing so. Not sacrificing my own physical life, but sacrificing every single day of the comfort of being somewhere else, but choosing to be in Eretz Yisrael and doing that with conviction and doing that with pride is something that all of us are so proud of you for as well. And I have to say, I think that this is the ultimate act of selflessness that all of you are doing. You can learn in Eretz Yisrael, but you can also learn at home. You can learn it, I shouldn't say home, you can learn in Chutz La'aretz. Our home is Eretz Yisrael. You can live in a dorm in Eretz Yisrael, but you can sign up to be in a seminary or a college university here. I guess university is not such a safe idea. It never was a safe idea. It never was a good idea. But now we know that it's a terrible idea. If any of you are still on the fence about where you're going to be going to university, I think you really need to think very, very carefully, because everybody now in America knows where universities stand. This never was a secret to most of us, but now it has come out to the forefront. It has come to the reality. Everybody now knows where university campuses stand and that we are not safe on them, and that their ideologies are absolutely bankrupt and we should have nothing to do with everything that the universities stand for and uphold. But what can I say other than the fact that you have all made a decision which is so selfless? You have decided that you want to stay in Eretz Yisrael, in Arzenu HaKadosha, not because it's more comfortable, and not because it's safer, and not because you have a better living accommodation there, and not because you're getting better food, and not because the learning is better. You are staying because you want to be selfless people. Moshe Rabbeinu is credited with saying, Mecheni na misifrecha asher kasavta. He says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not about me. I see the larger picture of the Jewish people, and I understand that there's something bigger than myself, and that being selfless is something that we are all called upon to do at different stages and different junctures of our own personal lives. And all of you have made that courageous decision. I was so moved last week. There was a clip that was going around from a Jew, a beautiful Jew in Kiryat Arba, who I don't know, but I wish I did know. His name is Reb Tzvika Mor. Reb Tzvika Mor is one of the individuals who has a son who is missing. He is a hostage. He is now in Gaza. They don't know his whereabouts. They don't know if he survived. They don't know if he's alive or dead. They don't know anything about him. But he said, he stood up proudly and he said in front of the entire world, if I have to make a choice, I'm going to read you his words. If I have to choose between the love, the indescribable love that I have for my son, and I want him back, but if I have to make a choice between my son coming home and the safety and security of the Jewish people in the land of Israel, ani bocher be'ahavat ha'umah. I am prepared to make a choice that I love the Jewish people more. And if my son's release, if my son's return is going to do something that will in any way jeopardize the Jewish people and their efforts to win this war, I am prepared to sacrifice my son because I don't want to sacrifice the Jewish people. That's the ultimate act of selflessness. I was so inspired by it. I was so moved. You have a chayal who goes to the front lines. He's being selfless. You have parents who are waiting at home, not knowing where their children are, not knowing if their children are safe, not knowing if their children are alive, not knowing if their children are ever going to come home again. That is the ultimate act of selflessness. But allow us to all take from them that we also have the ability to be selfless. Everybody has to be and can be selfless. And all of you have made a decision to be selfless. In Parshas Bo, the Torah tells us, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chadashim. We know that the Jewish people, we all just said Kiddush Levana this week. It's the very beginning of a month. And we have the opportunity to remind ourselves that we are all Klal Yisrael's Nimshilu LeLevana. We follow a lunar calendar. We follow a lunar calendar because of the following reason. When I took the job in the Young Israel of Woodmere, I got a call from my Rebbe, Rav Asher Weiss, who told me the following. It was the first day that it was announced that I had the job. And he said, Klal Yisrael's Nimshilu LeLevana. The Jewish people are like the moon. Why do we compare ourselves to the sun? The sun is so much greater. The sun is so much more powerful. And the answer he told me was, and this is something that I wrote down and I have it sitting on my desk ever since. Lo chashuv kama ato gadol, ela kama ata gadel. It doesn't matter in the world how big you are, how powerful you are, what position you hold. What really matters is kama ata gadel. How much are you consistently and constantly growing? And that is why the Jewish people are nimshilu lelavana. While it's true that the chama, that the sun, is far more powerful, far more impactful, has a much greater position in the world than the moon. But what's special about the moon is that it's always growing, that it's changing, that it's dynamic, that it's not one size, that it's something that always continues to have a different perspective and a different tafkid. And all of us are always on that continuous journey to make sure that we see ourselves as people who reflect that kind of mindset of the moon and don't fall into the mindset of the sun. It doesn't matter what position you hold, and it doesn't matter what school you're in, and it doesn't matter the prestige that you have. What matters is, in life, lo kama ata gadol, ela kama ata gadel. Not how big you are, but rather how much you are willing to continue to be on this path of growth, which is exactly what Avraham Avinu is told in this week's parsha. His halech lefanai veheyeh samim. Continue to grow, continue to walk, continue to be dynamic, continue to reconsider your options. Always have different expectations of yourself than you had the day before, because you're a bigger person than you were the day before. There are different challenges in your way. There are different opportunities that you have. There are different decisions that you're going to have to make. And that is something that all of us have the chance to think about, to continue to grow, not to be powerful, but to continue to be big in other ways, to continue to be big people who are always looking at the big picture of ourselves, of our community, and of all of the Jewish people. Rav Moshe Feinstein has an amazing comment in a Sefer on Chumash. The Torah says, Lo sakim lecha matseva, asher sanei Hashem Elokecha. Do not construct a matseva, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, absolutely abhors a matseva. He does not want you to serve him on a matseva. What exactly does that mean? What is the difference between a matseva and a mizbeach? Rav Moshe Feinstein quotes the Ramban, where the Ramban says that a mizbeach is something that is made of many different stones piled on one on top of the other. A matseva is one where you have one slab of stone, and that is how you offer karbanos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he absolutely abhors the perspective on life, which is a matseva perspective. Some people live life saying, look how much I've accomplished, look what kind of talents I have, look what position I hold, look what I do. And that is their slab that is there. It doesn't grow, doesn't get bigger, doesn't get smaller. It is what it is. The way of life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciates is when people turn and look at themselves and say, I don't want to live a matseva life. I want to live the life of a mizbeach. I'm going to take one stone, one opportunity, and build it on top of the next one. And by putting all of those together, I will then have the chance to build something very special and offer that to the Ribono Shel Olam. That is exactly what all of you are doing. Yihi Ratzon, it should be the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should be Shomer Aleinu ve'al kol amo beis Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should protect all of us wherever we are in the world. Jews are not protected anywhere. Jews are afraid everywhere. Jews are traumatized everywhere for very good reason. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should protect us. The Shomer Amo Yisrael La'ad should continue to do so. He should watch after all of our soldiers. He should watch after all of you who have made a courageous decision to stay in Eretz Yisrael. And he should protect everybody who needs his protection. Ufros aleinu sukas shlomecha, v'sakneinu be'etza tova milfanecha, v'hoshiyenu lema'an shemecha. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save all of us. Sheyachus v'yirachem al pleitas amo beis Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have great rachmanos, great mercy on all of the Jewish people. And we should continue to find meaning in the opportunities that he puts forth for all of us and the experiences of our lives. We should always be growing. We should never have that perspective of a matseva. We should always see the opportunities we have of building those mizbechos in our own lives, building those one stone on top of the other, one opportunity on top of the next. And I'm sure your days are richly filled with opportunity. Ashreichem ve'ashreinu. How lucky you are and how proud we are to have children like you who are in Eretz Yisrael, standing strong, being bold, and making the Jewish people proud. Mirtz Hashem, we should be able to have wonderful updates. We should be able to be in touch for Besuros Tovas Bekarov. And as the Chafetz Chaim writes, sometimes we look at a world and we see a world of tohu vavohu. We see a world of emptiness, of nothingness, of chaos, of tyranny, of everything horrible. But guess what? The end of the pasuk is Vayomer Elokim Yihyar Vayihyar. At any moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can look at this situation of tohu vavohu, which is exactly what we're living through. And he can see, and he can say and declare, Vayomer Elokim Yihyar, Vayihyar. So long as HaKadosh Baruch Hu will decide that there should be light, there will be light. Yeshua's Hashem Keharef Ayin, we look forward to that time, to that experience, to that emotion, and to all having that opportunity. Ki Ayin Ba'ayin Yiru, Bishuv Hashem Tzion, Bimheira V'Yameinu, Amen V'Amen.